Since the start of the season, Creighton hasn't played much, but it'll change starting Friday night when they play four games the next 8 days, part of the Las Vegas Invitational, with the first game being played downtown, Creighton and Cal Poly. The Jays are 2-1, and as we are now into a basketball season, and with Creighton basketball here on the Zone, it's a great opportunity to bring back in Brody Darren. Brody, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Hey, Gary, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, when you see a fellow big man go on the floor like Kelvin Jones did the other night, or taking charges like he did, what's your initial thought?
Well, I wanted to have the same reaction that Greg McDermott had. Yeah, that was awesome. And actually, I have a little bit of a closer tie to Kelvin Jones because, as far as I know, he's the only guy that's worn number 43 since I wore it 15-odd years ago. So, that was a pound to chest, big man to big man right there. But I don't know if I ever got the love like that on a play I ever made for my coach.
Yeah, I thought initially that Mac might like pull the muscle. I don't know that if you like the top five moments that Mac's been the most excited on the sideline, that might be near the top in his reaction when he saw the big man go to the floor the other night.
That was pretty awesome, and it was a great play. And actually, Kelvin Jones was on the other end of another great hit the floor play, but that one was by Marcus Zagorowski, who dove twice in the same possession, ended up with the ball. And kicked it ahead. I think it was Mitch Ballack, perhaps, that finished it off, throwing the lob. Well, he threw the lob up to Kelvin Jones, who finished it off, and that was a pretty sweet play also in that little stanza.
In the brief moment, and in the offseason, there's a lot of teams that wanted him as a graduate transfer, and he chose Creighton for a reason. What have you seen about his game that you think will evolve that'll get him ready for the rigors of the Big East on a roster that doesn't have a lot of guys that he looks eye to eye with?
Yeah, I think I have, and I would imagine a number of Creighton fans have been pleasantly surprised with what they've seen. He had very good production and numbers at Idaho State, but here's a guy that's been sort of a journeyman. I mean, at the end of the day, Creighton University is the fourth school that he's played for in his collegiate career. So you didn't fully know what you're getting. And as a byproduct of obviously Jacob Epperson's unfortunate circumstances and season-ending industry, he's been thrust into more of a significant spotlight role than maybe the staff was planning on. But thank goodness he's there. He's got great feet. He's got good hands. He obviously plays hard. I mean, that has been fully evident. I think the thing that he's learning and needing to develop is really his conditioning to be able to play more extended minutes in this system. I think he's been more of a block-to-block, type of player in the systems that he's played in. So this up-tempo, pace, speed style that Creighton plays, including defensively, where they are guarding ball screens out and hedging those ball screens, out to 30, 35 feet, sprinting back to cover the rim, and then it being expected to sprint the floor, on the offensive end. I don't think he's got his wind behind him enough yet, and hopefully that continues to evolve and come around and improve. But certainly had a great game the other night, I'm certainly optimistic and encouraged about how he may evolve.
Now, another guy who had hustle plays, if they had the hustle boards up in the corner at the Chai Center, they would be ringing up after the play by Jones. And then you get Marcus Zagorowski, who also had a couple of big-time hustle plays. And Mac rewarded both of those guys. He talked about him in the postgame. But as we've seen just three games into this season, and we all kind of knew as Marcus has developed, as long as he stays healthy, that he's going to show up in the Big East and people are going to be well aware of him if they're not already. But one thing I've noticed in the first three games, Brody, is his offensive game has really started to develop. Am I off there, or do you see something along the same lines?
No, I think he's more aggressive. I mean, he had a great freshman season. I think he had a lot of confidence coming into this sophomore year. He led the Big East in three-point shooting last year in terms of percentage, with the minimum number of attempts, whatever those are. He continues to work on that. I think that, you know, and then just in general scoring, I think he's taken a little bit more of an aggressive approach and mindset into that. He's got the confidence behind it. I love him. I think he's got he has maybe the toughest mentality of anybody on that team. And, you know, he clearly has a high level of confidence. Even as a freshman, there wasn't situations that seemed to intimidate him. You know, he's a basketball junkie. You know, even some of his injury issues have been overuse injuries because the kids played the basketball nonstop since he was 6 years old, you know, type of thing. And just a gym rat, clearly runs in the bloodlines as well. So, now Marcus is, I think, a special player, and goodness gracious, the Big East, the folks in Providence, Rhode Island, and, Washington, D.C., and Milwaukee are going to be rolling their eyes when they see a fourth-year Marcus Zagorowski come out and think, gosh, this guy's been here forever. Because, you know, what I don't know is, does he have the body and some of the physical tools to end up, you know, putting himself in a position to leave early and go to the NBA? Maybe that, you know, I'm proven wrong there, but I see him more as a very effective, really, really good collegiate player that will probably make some money overseas when he's all done.
Hey, as you talk about the rigors of the Big East, you're gonna need to rely on nearly every guy on that roster, including a freshman in Sharif Mitchell, which when he's in the game, there's a buzz in the building. And we noticed that when he was in high school here in Omaha as well. I mean, he's just lightning quick, and he makes those wow plays. How do you think you manage a guy like Sharif with the different challenges in the non-con to get it to your trust level of what he can do in the Big East when he might be looking eye-to-eye with a guy like Marcus Howard?
Yeah, well, and, you know, with a roster that's so deep, too, in the guard position. And by the way, that does not include Denzel Mahoney. He hasn't seen the floor yet. He'll come back around and is eligible at the end of the first semester. And Denzel's another body that can play, you know, the 2-3-4 spot that adds his own element. So, but the reality is, when you guard people like Sharif Mitchell does, you're going to see the floor. That tenacity and his mindset and the physical tools that he has are really tremendous. And goodness gracious, it's kind of fun to think about for people that have been around the Metro basketball for as long as I have and that you have, to think about being able to couple that with the scoring tools that his old man had. That was a nightmare combination because Alvin could fill it up. And not that Sharif, I think Sharif's got a good baseline from an offensive game to build upon, and I think we'll see that over time. I think he's continuing to learn, you know, Mac's system and the expectations of a point guard in this system, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah.
And Mac's a guy that he relinquishes control and trust to that point guard over a period of time, and you don't just earn that overnight, but you're going to see the floor often and early when you guard people like Sharif does, and I love it. It's so fun to see. He obviously has the same tenacity that Khyri Thomas did, but with a different body type, and we'll be guarding kind of different types of people. But I think the reality is he's going to have his chances, and we look forward to watching that continued production. I think a lot of it is just building confidence, you know, in the system and knowing when and where to distribute and where and when to score.
Hey, what have you seen with the deeper three-point line, whether the three games that Creighton has played or any other college basketball you've played, what kind of an impact it's had, Brody?
I haven't looked at the data, Gary. I'd be really curious to see when it's all said and done whether it has any trending impact on the data. But, you know, I mean, the game has evolved so much around the three-point line that these kids grow up, you know, shooting threes as part of the system so much early on. But my hypothesis is that there will be almost immeasurable delta between, you know, average three-point shooting from the 2018-19 season to the 2019-20 season because, you know, it's enough of a distance that you know, you can obviously tell on the floor, but I don't know if it's honestly going to show up in the numbers. I mean, most of those guys are capable of stepping that extra foot back, and some of them, Mitch Ballack, an extra 7 or 8 feet back from there. You know, the Steph Curry era has certainly hit us, and that's impacted the whole pipeline of kids. I mean, they're used to shooting these threes that, you know, we would have considered bad shots years ago. So I haven't noticed it making an impact yet, but, you know, that's completely anecdotal and not supported by any data thus far.
Yeah, now we push it back even further when you see Trae Young on a nightly basis, the NBA, shooting from the logo.
Yeah, it's nuts. And, like, that's a good shot, and it is for him. And that's the hard thing to fathom.
Hey, is this going to be one of the just on a nightly basis, it's some nights good, some nights bad. You look at Michigan, the rebounding wasn't an issue. Saturday against Louisiana Tech, the offensive rebounding was an issue. Is this just going to be a game-by-game situation with rebounding the ball?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously been an area of opportunity for Creighton, and really over the last number of years in Mac's system. Part of it is it's really fascinating for them to go to Michigan where they're outsized, or, you know, they're undersized relative to their opponent. And really, Mac generally only sends one person to the offensive glass and sends four guys back because he doesn't like to get run out on, and they come up with 20 offensive rebounds at Michigan. So I think that was certainly an outlier scenario. But this is it has to be a team rebounding effort. I mean, they are undersized. They've got to put a very big emphasis on putting a body on people. Now, there's a lot of teams like Kansas and Duke and, you know, Michigan States of the world that are big enough, that the blockout part of the rebounding exercise isn't really as big an emphasis. Just go get it. Mm-hmm. Creighton doesn't have that luxury because they're undersized. But I think you'll see that, as you pointed, Gary, to some up and down, you know, in that particular category. But, the reality is outside of Kelvin Jones, they have nobody on that roster that's playing significant minutes that's above 6'7".
Brody, as always, we appreciate it. Busy week now for Creighton, home for Cal Poly, North Florida, then out to Vegas for San Diego State, and then either Iowa or Texas Tech. Glad you're back with us. We look forward to every Tuesday chatting.
Sounds great, Gary. Take care.
That's Brody Darren, the pride of Harlan, former Jay. Dropped a little nugget. Kelvin Jones, the transfer from Idaho State, wearing 43. Last to wear 43? That guy right there, who you'll hear throughout the season when his schedule provides, sitting in with John Bishop doing color for the Creighton broadcast here on 1620 The Zone. All right, coming up in the next hour, Andy Kendi will join us. We got some stuff from Lincoln, nothing earth-shattering, of course, but more talking about buy-in, that kind of stuff, as Nebraska gets ready for Maryland. And we will talk about winning against Maryland and social media. You heard Adrian Martinez yesterday. I'm sure Verz got into it a bit, swearing off of Twitter. Fortunately, kid is grounded. You saw how he handled the fishbowl last year, and a head coach that is helping him with the fishbowl, not telling him to run away from the fishbowl, but what it's like to be the starting quarterback at a place like Nebraska. So we'll talk about Martinez's comments. Also, Robin Washit coming up at 1, and then Tom Chattel at 1:20. Tom of the World Herald today, and his little scattered thoughts column, made the mention in his chat with Bill Moose about Nebraska will do whatever it can to maintain the sellout streak, which currently sits at 374. Means too much to give up. Who does it mean more to? And do you appreciate it, depending on your age, the sellout streak, which is currently at 374? That's all to come before we're done at 2 from Dayton, Ohio. Don't forget, you can join me tonight. Omaha men's basketball against Dayton from UD Arena, the home of the First Four. Beautiful facility. Jordy Shimanga, who transferred to Dayton from Nebraska, has been bothered by a knee injury since October. He has not yet played this year. They have high hopes for him, but they're not real optimistic right now about his knee injury. So he'll be on the bench tonight for Dayton. That's over on 1180, 5:30 with a pregame, 6 o'clock tip-off. This is the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone and the 1620 The Zone app.